I welcome everyone this morning to the Contemporary Bible Class. My name is Velma Jean Sanders. I'm a teacher, Sunday School Life Development Ministry teacher at Salem Baptist Church. This is the Contemporary Bible Class, and we are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. I would like to say good morning to everyone. I am glad to see everyone. Either your name or your number. I see some faces, regardless to how you're checked into Zoom. I am glad that you are here. We have not met since last month. Last time we met, we were in June. Now today, July 5th, in the year 2020. And we are continuing in our study from Luke chapter 9. Today, we will be studying in verses 10 through 17, the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. If this is your first time joining the contemporary Zoom class, I welcome you. I welcome each one of you, especially our new people. We are glad that you are here. I encourage you to invite others to Zoom in on Sunday mornings. This class is open to anyone all over the United States, even the world. So I encourage you to tell others about our class. Everyone needs the word of God. Everyone needs God's word. And so with having said that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you on this, the start of a new day, even though we're a few hours into the day, we're in the morning time, and we offer unto you a morning praise, Lord. We praise and bless your name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. We give you glory and honor. We bless your name, Lord, and we bless your son, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the work that you have done. You are the overcoming, victorious King. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that never loses its power. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. We pray that you would cleanse us and wash us in the blood of the Lamb. Make us, enable us that we might receive from you today the word of God. And we'll be careful, I pray, Lord, to bless me. Help me to teach this class. Without you, I can do nothing. And I ask you to be the teacher through me. And may we all leave full. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you're not on mute, please put yourselves on mute. Good morning to everyone once again, especially our first timers. But I'm glad to see everyone. I hope you came expecting. Whenever you come to the Word of God, whether it's through Sunday school or worship service, you should always come expecting. And so come expecting to receive from the Lord, not from Velma. Velma is a mere vessel. I'm an imperfect vessel, but I am a vessel that God has chosen to teach His Word. But I want you to see that I want you to come and approach this class as coming to hear what the Lord Himself, Jesus Himself, by His Spirit, has to say to you. And in our lesson this morning, we're going to see how it ended with the baskets, and all the baskets were full. And so I want to ask you, do you have your basket? Everyone, you need a basket. And when I say basket, I'm talking about the basket of your heart. With your heart open to receive from the word of the Lord, even from the Lord Himself. So if you don't have your basket, get your basket. And by that, I mean, Lord, give me a heart to receive. Give me a heart to hear. Give me a mind to hear. Give me a spirit to want to not only hear, but to also be a doer of the word of God. Today, we're continuing in Luke chapter 9, and we are ready to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something in the word today for everyone. Everyone that is here, there is a word for you. Jesus has a word for you, and He also has a word for me. none of us will be able to retain, contain all of it. But there is enough in the Word of God, regardless of what level we're on. This is the amazing thing about the Word of God. There are many amazing things about the Word of God. But one thing that awes me about God's Word, it is the same food for all of us. So regardless if you're a newborn Christian, or if you've been walking with the Lord for many years, or perhaps not a Christian at all, God's Word is good for everyone. Everyone can receive something and everyone can be healed. There is no age on God's Word. God's Word is ageless. And by that I mean it's good for the baby in the womb. You know, Psalm 8 said those babes were blessed in the Lord. It's good for babies, it's good for infants, toddlers, and on up even unto old age. God's Word is good for all. It's good for all ages, it's good for all races, it's good for every other social class there may be. Today, Luke chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. Well, 10 through 17. Now, I will read. We're going to start our reading at verse 10. I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. I will read and then we'll go back. Okay, Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 10. And it reads, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him, Jesus, all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people.' For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, 'Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." And we say amen to the word of the Lord. Let me also say, this is preliminary, but let me also say, if I don't have your email address, please send me your email so you can get on the Zoom invitation list. My address, vsanders875@centurylink.net. Let's go to, now we're studying from Luke. Luke is our home base, but let's go over to John chapter 6. Let's look at John's account for a moment, and then we're going to come back to Luke. Because I want to bring out, when we go to John, and this is why you need the whole Bible, why we need the 4 Gospels, and the miracle that we're getting ready to study, the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, this is the only miracle that is recorded in each of the 4 Gospels. So John, in John chapter 6, we see the same miracle occurring. When you look at verse 5, John chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Jesus lifted up his eyes. He saw a great multitude. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And then it goes on talking. And I'm trying to get to the place where we can see it's the same miracle. Then we go to verse 10. Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and number about 5,000. So that confirms we're talking about the same miracle, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now it's important that I say that because on another occasion, Jesus fed another great multitude, about 4,000. This is the miracle of the 5,000. So we see Jesus feeds this multitude in John chapter 6. Then you go to verse 16, John chapter 6, verse 16. And it says, now when evening came. So, you know, the scenario, the scene has changed. The evening came. Then you go on to verse 22. And verse 22 is going to tell us, which Luke does not. Luke does not tell us this big portion that John's going to tell us about. What happened the next day? So I want you sometime this week to read John chapter 6 in its entirety. But when you get to verse 22, you're going to find out what happened the next day. Well, not to give away everything that happened, but you can imagine those people, they came back the next day because they wanted some more bread. They wanted another free lunch and a free dinner. So you read chapter 6 and you'll find out the differences between multitudes and disciples. There is a difference between the multitude of people around Jesus and the disciples. John chapter 6 also in verse, when we look, they found Jesus, verse 25 and verse 30. John chapter 6, verse 30 says, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? Now Jesus had just fed them. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. And Jesus had fed approximately 10 to 15,000 people. And they come back, the multitude saying, show us a sign. And before it's over with, you're going to find out when you look at verse 41. Verse 41 says, the Jews then complained about him. And that's the multitude there versus the disciples. The disciples are followers, true followers of Christ, whereas the multitude is just around to get what they can get. Okay, let's go back to Luke, our study. Luke chapter 9, we have seen already our passage, Luke 9, verse 10 through 17. We have seen on previous weeks and formerly in Luke chapter 9, that Jesus had commissioned his 12 disciples and sent them out on their first solo mission. They had a successful mission. They were able to return back to Jesus in verse 10, and they told Jesus all that they had done, all that he had done through them. And so it was a successful mission. Now we move on. Because we're going to find out, even though they had accomplished all that Jesus sent them to do on this first solo mission, they still had a lot more to learn. And that's where we're going to pick up. We started it last week, moving on today. So in verse 10, they return, they give an account to Jesus of what they had done. Lesson number one, further lessons, more lessons to learn. Well, lesson number one, we talked about last week. Verse 10 says, then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And we talked about and we saw the need for rest. The disciples had been ministering. There were so many people from many regions all over coming to be ministered to. And Mark let us know so many people were coming and going that the disciples did not even have time to eat. That's just how overwhelmed they were with human need. And so Jesus, lesson number one, he tells them, you need to withdraw. There's always a time. You have to make time and you have to take time. And we found out just in reading our Bibles every day, spending time with the Lord, if you don't take the time, you'll find out a lot of other things will take the time for you. You have to take the time yourself and make the time to get alone with just me and the Lord, or just you and the Lord, without anyone else. And so Jesus tells them, you need to rest, but this is not as in a vacation. This is in a, yes, a retreat, a withdrawal, but it's necessary for spiritual purposes. You need to withdraw. You've been ministering to people, but now you need to get alone with the Lord, just you and the Lord, time for prayer with him, time for communion with him, to make sure you're on track and to make sure you're on point. In order to have a successful spiritual life and in order to grow and to mature, it is necessary to get alone with God. To not do so, to not find time, and you can be busy, 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 busy. And I'm a pretty busy person, and all of us are busy. Life can make you busy. If you don't make time, me as well, to get along with the Lord, then you open up yourself. You're prone to some type of attack. Everyone, make sure you're on mute. You're prone to sin. You're prone to attack. You're prone to be vulnerable. Something to come up on you unawares. Whereas if we're in communion with the Lord on a regular basis, it strengthens us and it protects us, it hedges us in, it's a fence around us. And so lesson number one, now we're like in second semester per se. Jesus had taught them a lot. Then he sent them on their first mission. Now they return and it's like, okay, not now time for semester number two. Not now time for another grade. Let's advance. I have more lessons for you. First lesson, need for rest. But then we go on in verse 11, I'm in Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And verse 11 says, but when the multitudes knew it. Now, if you notice in the Bibles, if you're reading from New King James Version of the Bible, that little word it is italicized. And even if you're not in New King James, there's those little italicized words. And they do not mean emphasis. They mean they are words that are supplied by translators. So I'm just saying that by the way. So verse 11 says, but when the multitudes knew, and then the translators inserted it. Okay, so but when the multitudes knew it, they did what? They followed him. And so the lesson to learn there is human need will always be. There will always be crowds and crowds of people that have needs. That's why you have to make time and take time to be alone, just you and the Lord. There is an unending amount, immeasurable amount of human need on every level. Even us ourselves have needs. And then you look at the masses of humanity, there are multitudes of people that have needs. And so that's another lesson that the disciples have to learn. Ministry never ends. Ministry never ends because human need never ends, okay? And so that's in Luke chapter 9, verse 11. And so the multitudes, here come these multitudes and then the crowd, then the disciples. The multitudes, when they knew it, they followed him. And that's a good thing. You know, it's good to follow Jesus. Now, their motive for following him, that's why I want you to read John chapter 6, because it's going to lift up the curtain on their heart and their motive. But here they follow Jesus, and he, because he's Jesus, because he's the Lord, because God so loved the world and God loves humanity, Jesus received them. And so we want to remain in the spirit and in the frame of mind to receive people, to be open and to be receptive. Jesus received them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So we want to be receptive, but we want to make sure that we're doing what God would have us to do. Speak to them about their need for a savior, their need for Jesus, how Jesus came, how Jesus shed his blood, how we're all sinners. We all need to repent. There's a need to follow him. There's a way of sin that leads to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For God so loved the world. So we want to speak to them things concerning the kingdom of God. And then there will always be a need for healing. And that's what Jesus had enabled and empowered the disciples to do in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. But then we say, as we go on in lesson number 3, there's a lot of lessons that these disciples still need to learn. Because verse 12 says, when the day began to wear. We talked about that on last week. So that lets us know that the crowd, the multitudes had been with Jesus and Jesus had been ministering to them for hours. We don't know what time they arrived, but whatever time, Jesus was ministering to them for hours. And so now we're in the late afternoon, early evening into mid-evening towards, you know, really late evening. And the day is beginning to wear. And the 12 came. This is exactly where we ended last week. The 12 disciples, they come. They come to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Jesus, now they're telling Jesus, send the multitudes away. Now think about that a moment. Jesus, send the people away. All right. Now, part of the main components of being a disciple is number one, you follow Jesus. The other side of the coin is you are fishers of men. All right. So now they have failed. You know, we'll say failed. They're still learning. We're all still learning. We're all still growing. And Jesus is now has them in a still teaching them. And so Jesus, in verse 11, it says he received them, because that's what ministers are supposed to do. If you're being used by the Lord, you've been called to the Lord, and Jesus told us to go, and he told us to teach people and tell them the good news about Jesus. Yes, there's a time for rest. Yes, there's a time for withdrawal. But we're also called to be ministers, and we're also called to see about human need. First of all, the soul. And so verse 11, Jesus received them. Opposite, contrast. He received them, whereas the disciples said, send the multitude away. And now they cover it per se, or sugarcoat it per se, by saying, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. Now we could say, well, maybe they really had a genuine concern that it was getting late, that they had been there for hours, the people are weary, the people are getting hungry, and they need to get back home, and there's no tents out here, and there's no hotels, motels, there's no lodging places. Mm-hmm. So we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they were genuinely concerned. But they're telling Jesus to send the people away. Well, Jesus, he was speaking to the people and he was healing the people. Now the people, anyone in that crowd could have left. Anyone could have picked up and left. They could have gone home on their own, but they were still there. They weren't saying, Jesus, we need to leave. The multitude were not saying we need to leave. And I don't doubt anyone there got up and left. And even if they did, the masses of the people were there. But we believe all the people stayed there. The point is the disciples who are to have been called to be fishers of men, to minister to people, are saying completely opposite of what we're supposed to do. Get rid of people. Send them away. And last week I said, we are tired. We've been here all day. We just got back from our mission trip. We were just overwhelmed by the need. And we just want to go home and we just want to rest. And so when they tell Jesus, you know, and we don't tell Jesus what to do, but that's what they were saying, send the multitude away. But Jesus, in other words, they were saying, Jesus, you're teaching, but we want you to stop speaking. We want you to stop talking about the kingdom of God. We want you to stop healing people and send the people away. Well, Mark lets us know, and we're not going to go back to Mark's account in chapter 6, but Mark lets us know that Jesus had compassion upon the people, and so did Matthew. And so the disciples need to learn, if you're going to minister to people and be pleasing to God, and it really be a ministry that counts, you have to have a heart for the people. You have to have compassion. You have to see there's a need. These people needed Jesus. They needed him. They needed him for who he is, and they needed to hear what he had to say, and they needed to receive what he had to do. And so the disciples have to learn, have compassion, and we need to learn to be compassionate upon humanity. Jesus had that compassionate heart. He felt them. He is that great high priest that feels all of that we have gone through. Jesus is the man, and he was able to feel everything. Isaiah says he is acquainted with grief. He is a man of sorrows. He knows all about the need of humanity because he was Jesus, the man. He's still the man, Christ Jesus. He's still the man today. Jesus is God, but he's the man even now. Timothy tells us there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus became a man. And once God, the Son, became a man, he's still the man. He is still the man. And so as the man, he has been felt. He feels all of our compassion, all of our emotions, everything that we go through, the whole entire gamut of life. Jesus could relate to it. And he has to teach the disciples to have compassion for the needs of others. And in order to do that, you have to go through things yourself, you know, to get that. And Jesus, he was going through it, and he still had more to go through. And so that's what he was teaching. Lesson number one. In session number two, the disciples have to learn, you got to rest. There's a need for rest. You have to learn there will always be human need. But in order to minister to the needs of others, you must have compassion. And so now in Luke chapter 9, verse 12, they tell Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country. Now that seems natural basis that you would do that. But we're talking about spiritual work here. And so that's what the disciples say. But verse 13, and now we're going to go on with Jesus now. No, you don't tell me what to do. Now, of course, Jesus didn't say it in the tone like I may be, like it might be coming over with me. But still, it's like, no, you don't tell me what to do. I am the Lord. He tells us what to do. And so in verse 13, but, you know, they said to him, send them away. But he said to them, okay, now Jesus now has got to teach them. And he's taking them, you know, they're in the lab now. They don't even know they're in the laboratory of a test. They don't even know they're in a classroom. And Jesus is testing them. And the multitudes, they're like the textbooks. They're like, you know, you go to school, you read the textbook, you go into the laboratory, you do the work. And so the multitude, they are the textbook. And now Jesus is going to raise these disciples up and teach them more about how to be a follower of Christ and how to be a fisher of men. And so, no, don't send them away. Jesus says in verse 13, you give them something to eat, period. That's what he said. You give them something to eat. Then he didn't say, if you have something. He just simply said, give them something to eat, period. Now, if we had time and I could unmute the mic, we don't have time, so I just keep talking. That is a command right there. It is a command. It is not, let me have your opinion. Let me know what you think about it. Perhaps, maybe, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And so now he's given them a brand new mission. Because in verse 1, let's go back to verse 1. In verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's their mission. And then it says, verse 6, so they departed because he had told them what to do. He had told them what to say. So verse 6, they went, they departed, they went through the towns, they preached and they healed. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. And then they returned in verse 10. But now when we get to verse 12, where they said, send the multitude away, Jesus has another mission for them. They don't know it because he's testing them. Oh, see how much they've really grown. And they are growing. They're still growing, but still need more growth. So verse 13, he says it is a command. It is an instruction. It is a test. And he says to them, you, the very ones who said, send them away, you give them something to eat. All right. And so he says, you give them something to eat. Now, when Jesus says something, he means it. When he said, give them something to eat, do you think he was just kidding around? He's just playing. He knows there's no food. He knows there's 10, 15,000 people, including men who can eat a lot more than children and women. He knows all of that. But nevertheless, he said, you give them something to eat. And so they come back on a natural level. The same men who had been used by God to perform miracles in verse 10, where they returned and told Jesus all that they had done. They had performed miracles through the power of God, the unction of the Holy Ghost on the word of the Lord. They had been used to heal and cure diseases. They had been used and they had seen all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. And it was a spiritual, supernatural work endowed by the Spirit of God. So now, verse 13, Jesus has a new assignment for them. Give them something to eat. Well, okay, now they get back, they revert back to the natural, the natural, the seen, the flesh, human level. They are not thinking spiritual at all. They say, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you know, when you read the other accounts, it wasn't even their 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was a little lad that had that. So they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. And so their response to Jesus did not ask them what they had. Jesus said, give them something to eat. But they go back and their response is fleshly, it's material, it's natural, it's what they can see with the physical eye. And it's, you know, we would say that's how it is. We only have 5 loaves. We only have 2 fish. Well, don't you know, Jesus knew what was available. Jesus knew the hour was late. Jesus knew where the people came from. Jesus knew all of that. And he still said, you give them something to eat. Now, spiritually speaking, keep in mind, they just got back from being used by God to perform miracles. Well, and these are lessons for us to learn too. We have to live this as well. And I want you to know, when we're studying this, yes, we're talking about the disciples. Yes, we're talking about thousands of years ago. Yes, we're talking about the miracle of feeding the 5,000. But this word of God is for us today. How do we respond when Jesus gives us whatever command it will be in our lives? Are we responding in the natural, in the flesh, like people who don't know the Lord? Or are we responding by faith? And so if they were responding by faith, and you know, this comes through growth, you know, you got to go around and around. We used to sing a song years ago, every round goes higher and higher. And we learn and we grow in grace. But the spiritual response would have been when Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Well, if you're in the spirit, and this is part of communion, communing with God, walking with God, and it's a battle. It's, you know, it's still a battle. I'm not saying this is easy. Don't think that. But I am saying we have to learn to walk by faith and live by faith. Because the natural says, well, we don't have enough. It's not going to work out. There's more people than we have food. There's more bills than there's money. There's more whatever than there is. And so, but the spiritual says faith. Well, Jesus said, give them something to eat. Well, faith, you would start thinking, well, Jesus, you want me to give them something to eat? How do you want me to do that? How do you want me to do it, Jesus? I know you gave me power. You have given me power to heal the sick. Are you giving me power to give people something to eat? See, that's the response that comes through faith. Or else at least saying, oh, Jesus, you do wonders. We know, Jesus, you can do anything. Feed them, Jesus, feed them. You know, they didn't say feed them, Jesus. They didn't say you feed them, Jesus. They didn't say feed them, Jesus. They simply made excuses based on the natural. And so now when Jesus said, you give them something to eat, he meant that. He meant exactly what he said. And so this whole miracle here, we're going to find out. He said, give them something to eat. He meant it. And before it's over with, we're going to find out what he says will come to pass. When he told them, give them something to eat, they are going to end up giving them something to eat. But how do they grow? How do they grow from we can't do it? There's not enough. How do they grow from getting out of the natural to getting into the spirit? So let's go on with our next lessons. Now, let me say this. When we go over to Luke chapter 9, let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it reads, Luke 9, 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come. Now, this is another scene. Now it came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, there's one of those italicized words, this. So you could say, and when his disciples, James and John, saw, they said, now these are those disciples that said, send them away. Those same disciples, James and John, when they saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and command and consume them just like Elijah? See, they're acting like, now they're saying, oh, Jesus, you know, because the folks didn't receive Jesus. So the disciples saying, Lord, now all of a sudden they try to get spiritual. Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and kill the folks? See, that's what they're saying. But they didn't have compassion for the other group. Then let's go back to verse 12. They didn't say in 13, when Jesus said, give them something to eat, they didn't say, well, Jesus, do you want us to command that the sky open and bread comes down just like you did in Exodus when you fed them with manna? Is that what you want us to do? Do you want us to call bread down? No, they didn't do that. But they didn't do that because they didn't have faith. And they didn't do that. But see, like here in the last, that part in chapter 9 that we just read, because they still got to learn, God loves people. He loves people. And he told them in Luke 9:54, where they say, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down and kill them? Just like Elijah did, Jesus turned and he rebuked them. He didn't like that. He rebuked them and said, and he told them, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And so that's us as God's people. And that's why you have to be patient with God's people, because we are a group of folks. We got all kind of stuff in us, even this. And so, but Jesus, he rebuked them and he told them, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy people, but he came to save them. And so we want to be ministers that bring forth life. Okay, it's 9:40. We have about 15 minutes. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 13. So Jesus sending them on a new mission he has for them, give them something to eat. They're in the natural, not in walking by faith, not looking in the spiritual, not at all. Not even saying, Jesus, Jesus, you turn water into wine. That was your first miracle. Jesus, you could take this grass and turn it into food. Go ahead, do it, Jesus. No, they didn't say that. So verse 14, now Jesus is going to help them. He's going to mature them in this classroom out in the grass field. He's going to bring them to the place where he uses them to give them something to eat. So let's go on. How does he move them from not doing what he said to doing exactly what he said? Well, verse 14, there were about 5,000 men. Okay, so that's the number of people, is 5,000 men. Now, we know when you read the other accounts, it was 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Now, I'm looking at my Zoom account a few seconds ago, it said 50. But now it says 49 for whatever reason. But it says 49, but I would have to say plus the spouses. And somebody else might have a child in the room. So it's 49 plus the spouse, plus the child, whoever else may be there. And so Luke said there were about 5,000 men. That's a lot of people. You have to get in your mind 5,000. Then you got to try to get in your mind 10,000. Then you have to try to get in your mind 15,000. And you all take dollar bills and just start laying them out. And you all who have 5,000 $1 bills laying around, lay them out. And the other group that may have 10,000, lay out your dollars and you'll see how many people this is. Now Jesus is going to help grow them into being more compassionate towards people and into feeding these people just like I told you to do. So verse 14, there were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, make them sit down in the groups of 50. So first, and they did so and made them all sit down. Now you all see opposites here, because they, verse 12, the disciples were saying what? Send them away. Jesus said, sit them down. Don't send them away. Have them sit down. See, that's complete contrast. Send them away. No, sit down. And so the lesson there is, don't shoo people off, especially in ministry, especially as disciples, especially as servants of the Lord. Don't shoo people away. And so he told them, make them sit down in groups of 50. Now you think of 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 and do your division and you find out, I wrote it out, there's if it's 5,000, there's 100 groups of 50. 10,000, there's 200 groups of 50. 15,000, there's 300 groups of 50, a lot of people. And so the first thing Jesus does here is we got to do some organizing. We have to organize. We got to put some structure on this, because I meant we're going to feed the people. You're going to give them something to eat, even though the disciples don't know exactly what's going on. But the first thing Jesus brings on the scene is organize, structure. There must be some organization and there must be some structure. And this is paralleling what happened in the Old Testament, because you've got all these thousands of people in a deserted place. You could think of, if you think about it, oh, that's like Israel in the wilderness, when Israel was traveling through the wilderness. And here we are in the New Testament with all these masses of people in a deserted place. Well, when Israel was traveling through the wilderness, and if you have notes, write down Numbers chapter 2 and read this on your own. Numbers chapter 2 and Numbers chapter 10. And numbers, the book of Numbers, there's all kind of structure and all kind of numbering and all kind of organization going on in the book of Numbers. And when Israel was traveling, they weren't like a herd of cattle. I mean, just all disorganized. There was structure and there was order. And so Jesus says the first thing you have to learn is in ministering to people, you have to bring order into the place to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Don't send them away. Don't get rid of people. That's what we came to do, to minister to people. Instead, make them sit down, but organize them. And so when he said, make them sit down, now the disciples, those same ones who said, send them away, now in verse 15, it says, and they did so. And so now we see Jesus doing what? Using these men to minister to the people. Those 12 men, now it's 15,000 people. So how do the 12 men make them do so? Well, when you picture it, those 12 men had to be doing what? Getting in the midst of the people. They had to be going this way, that way, this way, and organizing. And so God is using the leaders, these disciples, to get in the midst of the multitude. You go that way, you go this way. But they had to do what? Everybody stay in place, but organize the people. And so they had to hear what Jesus said, follow his instructions, obey his instructions. They had to work together. Not one of them could bring all 10,000, 15,000 together, but the 12 of them were able. See, they have to work together to get the work done. And working together, but still staying in your place, but working together, the work of God can get done. And so Jesus brings, first of all, to get to the needs of the people. Now, that makes good sense why Jesus would bring order to the people. When you think about it, order had to be necessary, because he's getting ready to feed the people. You know, people go crazy over food. I mean, and this is one of those food passages. And the Bible, this is, by the way, and we don't have a lot of time, but let me say this. In the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, you meet up with food. And all the way to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, you're going to meet up with that tree of life that had fruit on it. Food is a thread that goes all through the Bible. It's all, and you know, the whole reason for human need is because of some food. I mean, it's food that causes a lot of things, all right? And so Jesus here, he knows, brings some order to the people, because order is necessary. So what? The food can be given out speedily, so it can not be chaotic, so people don't stampede, so anyone doesn't feel like they get left out. Everyone gets fed, and we can do this, and it'll be easier on all of us. So let's organize the people. And they did, and they made them sit down. Verse 16. Now I've got to go a little faster here. Verse 16. Then he, now this is Jesus, the miracle, our miracle working God. Then he, Jesus, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. 5 loaves. Now this isn't a whole loaf of bread. This is not a Vienna loaf of bread, you all. This is just five little loaves that a lad had for his lunch. Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, and the first thing he did, because he's going to feed these people and teach the disciples how to feed them, Jesus looked up to heaven. Now, when he looked up to heaven, and it's not like when we look up. You know, when I look up, I see a cloud. I see the sky, you know. I may see the moon and the star. But when he looked up, he's looking up to heaven. He's connecting with Father, because everything he does comes from Father. You know, Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness with food. That's that food again. And the first temptation was, if you are the Son of Man, command these stones to be made bread. Well, Jesus didn't just say stone be made bread, because the Father didn't tell him to do that. As a matter of fact, God sent angels to bring the food to Jesus. So Jesus didn't say, I got the power. I can cause the bread to come any kind of way. No, first thing Jesus did, 5 minutes we have. First thing Jesus did, he connected with Father. He looked up to heaven. He's empowered by the Spirit. He connects with Father. He blesses. And when it's a true blessing, it continues on. There's life in blessings. It's a continual thing. And so he blessed it, and then he devised. He's going to multiply. He's going to add. He's going to subtract, all that at once. And he broke it. He blessed, and he broke them, the fish and the bread. And then he did what? Those five little loaves and those two little fish, he gave them. Now you have to picture, open and more fish, open, break, more bread, break, more bread, break, more fish, break, more fish, more bread. And the miracle, the feeding of the people, is in Jesus. Jesus, he is the source for real ministry. Give them to eat, but you can't give them to eat. We can't give them to eat unless you connect with Jesus. If you give them to eat and it's not connected with Jesus, it's going to be stale bread. It's going to be moldy bread. It's going to be no good bread. You have to connect with Jesus to give real bread where all can be full. And so verse 10, Jesus took the five loaves. There's lots more that can be said about all of this. He took the five loaves and the two fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed. He broke. And then now he gave. And so now we're going to see Jesus gave. Now let's follow those verbs there. Verse 16. He took, he looked, he blessed, he broke, he gave. And then, you know, same works out in our lives too. The same works out in our lives, whatever our little may be. Look up to heaven. Ask the Lord to bless it. It might break in some way, but God's going to bless it. And then God's going to give it. And so Jesus gives to the disciples that which comes from him, that which comes to him from him. He gives to the disciples to do what? Set before the multitudes. Because when Jesus in verse 13 said, give them something to eat, he meant give them something to eat. But in order to give them something to eat, you got to connect back to me. But if you connect back to me, you can give them something to eat. And so the same group that says send them away is the same group that God matured them, raised them up to see and to do what he told them to do, give them something to eat. Verse 17, as a result of all of this, the distribution now of the food, verse 17 says, so they all ate. I mean, this was a beautiful miracle here, this wonder in Jesus. Jesus is the reason they could eat. So they all ate and were filled. They all ate and were filled. In other words, you want some more fish? Jesus got more. You want some more bread? And the disciples, God is using them. These disciples organized the people, but Jesus put the bread and the fish in the disciples' hands. You all see that? It wasn't a buffet line where the people came through the buffet line. No, Jesus gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. And a little picture of that I see in our church when we're gathered together, this being first Sunday in July, and we usually have communion on the first Sunday. And the deacons in our church, They come together and they receive the elements. Then they disperse among the people, and then they give to us. And that's just a little picture of this. But we are to disperse, you, me, Velma, us in this Zoom room, disperse among the people. And Lord, use me to help somebody. Use me to give them something to eat. Verse 17, so they all ate, like all of us in Zoom today, we have all eaten. If you were receptive to eat. Now, let me say this, they all ate. It was what? Fish and bread. It wasn't steak and potatoes, because Jesus wasn't serving steak and potatoes. You had to take what Jesus gave. You had to take it from whom he gave it to. If you didn't like Peter, well, I'm sorry, you ain't getting no bread, because Peter's the one that giving it. You have to, Sister Lily, I saw you laughing there, because Peter is the one giving. So you have to accept the minister that God has given it to. And if it's fish and bread, you got to eat fish and bread, because that's what Jesus is giving. If you want steak and potatoes, I'm sorry, you're going to end up dying, because Jesus gave, this is what he gives, and this is what you need. All right. And so our time is up. They all ate. They all were filled, and there were 12 baskets. Who do you think that was for? That was for those disciples. Those 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. The very same disciples who had nothing, they had nothing. They end up with 12 baskets. Each disciple ended up with a basket for themselves. And that says, Lord, as we close in prayer, if we do what you told us to do, you will take care of us. We praise you, Jesus, the living bread. We give you glory and honor forever and ever. Father, we give you glory and honor forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's it. If you want to unmute yourselves, our time is up. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to go on starting at verse 18. Verse 18. You all take your baskets as you go today and feed people, however God leads you, and then be receptive to do it. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see everyone.
Nice.
Okay, we got to go.
Bye, Lana.
Take care of what God wants us to do. Give them to eat.
Yeah. You sure will. Miss Sadie?
Next week, you'll probably have a password you have to enter.
Okay.